March 8th, 2005. Can you please state your full name for me?
Jim Vols.
Okay. And can you spell that for me? Last name?
V as in Vera. O E L Z as in zebra.
Okay. And do you have a middle name?
G is initial.
Middle initial G. And when were you born?
4/18/18.
Where were you born?
Le Grand.
Do you recall being told if you were born at home or in the hospital?
I don't know that.
Okay. And who were your parents?
Lila and Arnold Vols.
Were your parents from this area?
My mom was. Dad is from Minnesota, Wisconsin, in that area.
So your mother had grown up in this area?
Yes.
And how did they meet, do you know?
No.
Okay. But they must have decided to settle here in Le Grand before your birth?
Yes.
Okay. So where your mother had come, where did her parents come from before they were here?
They were from Le Grand also.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
You have a long history of
yes.
family here on your mother's side. And
mm-hmm.
Do you know the circumstances of your grandparents coming to this area then?
No, I do not.
So tell me about growing up here. Some of your earliest memories.
Well, the earliest memories that I have are the area where Western Equipment's office is now, on Adams Avenue. My granddad's home was on that lot where the building is now.
Did your grandfather have a ranch or a farm area there?
He owned clear to the railroad then. But he did not farm, and he was a conductor on the railroad.
Okay. Did he ever talk about his work?
No.
And so you recall hanging out at Grandpa's place?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, there was the house to the west is still there. It's that rock-faced house. The people that lived there was Chaucy. He was a railroad professional. They had a sister and a brother that was my age. His name was Burnett. On the corner to the east, there was a white house, and people lived there was a name by a Huff, H-O-U-G-H, and the next house over was Lizzie Huff. She was an elder lady later, and I used to talk to her quite a bit, and she was alone at that time. Across the street, a man by the name of Bunning lived right in the White House directly across the street at that time, and he run Bunning Tractor Company, which is now Western Equipment. There was a block down, there was a jeweler, where the rental yard is now. It was a jewelry repair shop.
Now, where did you live?
I lived, as near as I can remember, the first place that I can remember living was here on this farm. And Dad bought that real early in my life. I was 4 or 5 years old when he bought this place.
So you grew up on a farm?
Yes. Same farm I'm living on now.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me more details about what that might have been like growing up on a farm?
Well, in those days it was a lot different than today. I remember in our house when we moved out here, we had in the wintertime we moved into the main part of the house, and in the summer we moved out to what they called their summer kitchen, which
Why was that?
It wasn't heated. And the rest of the house, of course, was wood heat.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll give you a lot more room and give you access to the main part of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom facilities was the old type outhouse.
What do you mean by old type outhouse?
Two holers.
Two what?
Two holer.
Oh, two holes in the...
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Got the moon in the side, you know. You've uh-huh. seen pictures of them.
Sure.
And it's very uncomfortable when it's 0 degrees.
I bet it was. So that was situated outside quite a distance from the house?
Yes, probably 100 to 125 feet.
Do you recall how that was maintained or cared for?
Yes.
Can you tell me more about that?
It was not maintained or cared for.
Okay.
If it got whatever filled up, you dug a new one.
And then what would happen to the old one?
Move the shed, yeah. Move the shed and put over a new one.
Okay. Pretty simple process.
Yeah. I remember we had lots of chickens. I remember cleaning chicken houses when I did what I could do when I was 6, 7 years old. In those days, everybody had a chore to do.
So what were your chores, besides cleaning the chicken?
Well, anything that I could do, I helped get wood in. When I was about 9 or 10, I started milking the cows and feeding the pigs and chicken, cattle and horses.
Did you have siblings?
No.
Just an only child?
Yes.
So, who did you share the chores with?
Me. Dad and Mom both worked out on the pot. It was a family affair. We had 2,000 to 3,000 laying hens. We sold eggs at that time on the main place for Joel's Grocery, which is now long gone.
Where was that located? That was a local store?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, gee whiz. There also was a little store at Greenwood Grocery, which was directly north of the main building, now which was now Greenwood School.
Okay.
We sold eggs to them also.
But most of them went to Joel's Grocery?
Yes.
And you were saying that was in the northwest part of town?
Yes.
And you had also mentioned, while the tape was off, Old Town. And I wondered, you were over here off of Fruitdale Lane.
Yes.
So that was, must have been like living in the country then.
It was, yes. It was, there were some houses out here, you know, but it was in the country.
Mm-hmm.
There was a, turn that off. In those days, the railroad track was the dividing line between the people uptown and the, what we could say, the country folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't to the advantage of the people on the north side. It became quite noticeable at times. There's something else. The area we have today that we live in is one of the more affluent areas of Le Grand. It has responsible people and some well homes, nice homes, and still has a rural atmosphere.
So you don't feel that same division today?
No way.
Where did you start school?
Central School.
And you went there for what grade?
Through the fourth, I think. Okay. Then I went to Ackerman for a couple years. And in the meantime, our living address has changed to where we are now, mm-hmm. which required me to go to finish the 7th and 8th grade in the Fruitdale School.
Before we talk about the Fruitdale School, how did you get to school when you were going to Central? Were you close enough to walk?
Yes.
Did most of the other kids walk as well?
Yes, there was no buses. In fact, we walked all high school. We always walked to high school.
And did you pack your lunches from home?
Not very often. You could get a hamburger for a nickel there at the school, so that generally got a hamburger instead.
It was always a hamburger every day? Or did they...
Well, that was just a restaurant to serve hamburgers, period.
Oh, so it was a restaurant?
Across from
the school?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you moved back onto this, or when you moved to this farm initially, then you must have been 7th grade?
I was 18 and 6s. 1924, mm-hmm. and I think Dad bought the place in 22.
Okay. So tell me more about going to school out on Fruitdale Lane.
It was a one building.
Just hold it closer.
It was on as a one building, two room school. One to fourth in one room, four to eighth in the other room. The teacher was Mr. and Mrs. Bennett.
A couple teachers, huh?
She taught the lower grades and he taught the upper grades. Oh. Our activities were what we could play, and out in the yard we played softball and things like that.
That must have been quite a change to come from Central, though, into the smaller country school.
It was different. It was different. We had about, in my class, I think there was 6 or 8 kids.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, now moving back onto the farm, tell me what it was like to farm the land during that time.
Farming, when we started, was all done with horses. We raised, at that time, Dad raised a lot of carrots to feed the chickens, and we had hay. Of course, we had a big garden, Mom, we'd always butcher in the fall, and we'd butcher a hog. And Mom would fry the, Dad would make sausage and ham and bacon. And Mom would fry the sausage and put them in crocks and seal them in lard. And the hams, We hung in our cooler after they were cured. Of course, there was no electric refrigerators then. We had a big ice box. Dad had made an ice box that sat in the kitchen.
Where did the ice come from?
We bought it from Tyler Creamery, which is right straight across from, well, where the parking lot is across from the Elk. That was Tyler's Creamery at that time.
And they sold ice as well?
Yes.
Did you have electricity?
Yes, we always had electricity. We did not have running water for the first year or two, but we very soon after that we did.
Did you carry water from the well then?
We had a well underneath the house with a pitcher pump. That's what we started with.
Do you remember that day, the first day of getting water pumped into your house?
No.
No?
No. I was too young. Yeah, too young.
So you didn't have water for a while, but you always had electricity out here?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little more about life on the farm.
Well, it started early in the morning until dark at night. I remember getting up and milking. We had 5 or 6 cows we milked. Get up and milk those, and we'd
did
have.
Did you keep that milk, or was it shipped off to the creamery?
The milk was sold to the creamery, and the cream was. We had a separator, a hand spun separator, which was one of my jobs, and the cream was picked up by the creamery in Union, and the skim milk was fed to the hogs, and of course the cats and the dogs always liked it.
Sounds like nothing went to waste.
Nothing went to waste, that's correct. And Dad had, we sold lots of fryers. On weekends, we'd quite often dress out 2 or 3 dozen fryers in the spring and take them to the different stores, and people would come and pick them up.
Those were just sold whole? And
yes,
and
yeah.
Sold fresh in the stores?
Yes.
You were talking about a team of horses for the farming. How many in the team?
Two.
Two.
Yes.
So did they pull the farm equipment?
Yes. Yes.
What did that equipment consist of?
Well, we had a plow. We had a spring tooth.
And what does a spring tooth do?
Spring tooth was used in the alfalfa in the spring to kill what weeds you could in the alfalfa, so you wouldn't have so many weeds. Of course, we had a mower. The hay was put in the barn by Derek, who used the horses to pull it up in the barn.
And that was in big piles, or was it baled?
No, it was all loose hay. No baling in those days. And when I was a kid, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I remember going to the neighbors and haying, and I got $1 a day for driving the team for the derrick, and I got $1 for the team. So I thought I was doing pretty well. I got $2 a day for Dad letting me have the money for the team and what I made. That was.
Were you saving for anything special?
Well, you bought your clothes, that's about it.
Did your mother sew any of your clothing?
No.
she was busy canning?
Her big job was candling eggs. All the eggs that were sold had to be candled.
Candled? What do you mean by candled?
Candled is putting them under light, be sure there's no blood spots within the yolks. And the candles can determine that. Because you didn't want blood spots to be sold.
What happened to ones that did have a blood spot?
There was nothing wrong with the egg. If you wanted to cook it, all you had to do was cut the blood spot out, and the egg was all right. Honestly, we had never did have very many. You get one or two or three a day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Mom fed them to the cats and the dogs for something to eat. We had quite a few cats because we had so much poultry feed around that helped with the mice. There's one of the things that I think was probably the most interesting to the neighbors and to me and Dad and Mom. I was probably 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8, sometime in that period. I went out and got a baby magpie. And we brought it home. We hand-fed the thing till it could grow. Then it became a real pet.
Really?
It would say, it would talk. It would call the dog, Pooch. It would say hello. It would say goodbye. It could laugh just like a human being. The bird listened to people laughing when the bird would say something, and people would laugh. It got the mimicking and laughing. Mm-hmm. Or when it would say, come in, we had it in a cage at night. We'd leave it outside during the day, and at night it'd come to the kitchen door, and Mom let it in, and it'd jump up in his cage and roost in the cage.
It never would fly away during the day?
No. And I think one of the funniest things that I remember, it'd be people who come out selling chicken feed to Dad. And when the stranger come on, this bird would just come to the stranger and it'd start fussing and talking. And one day a guy was there and had sandals that had woven toes of holes in the top. And he'd see something like that, and that was real fun to him, because he'd get up and he'd eye that hole, and then he'd take that big long beak and he'd just drill it right between the hole. And one day we had a transit come by the front house in the road. He had his pack on his back, and this bird saw him. He was sitting in one of the trees by the road, and he laughed at this guy as he walked by. And the guy stopped, kind of perturbed because somebody was laughing at him. And he looked around, he didn't see anybody. So he started out, and this bird laughed again. And Dad and I were sitting back at the corner of the house watching him. And the guy threw his pack down on the ground, come in the front gate and went towards where he saw the sign. And then he got over towards this bird and looked up in the tree, and there this darn bird was, and the bird laughed at him again. He turned around, stomping his way out the yard. It was, and the bird was, he never bothered anything, but he was kind of mischievous. If you went through the gate, there was a crossbar above your head there. And if you didn't watch him, and he was sitting on top of that gate, you went through, he'd fly down your shoulder and nab you behind the ear. So You had to be kind of careful if young kids were around. He wouldn't intentionally hurt them, but it was just his way of saying hi, and it was a lot of fun. And that's what we had. That's the type of amusement we could afford and we could do.
I've never heard of a pet magpie. That's a first.
Is that right?
I've never heard of one that could talk.
Oh, he'd say, oh, one day we were gone. And Charlie Goodwin was a deputy sheriff. And he come in to see Dad one day. And he come up to the back porch and knocked on the door. And Maggie says, come in. So he opens the door, walks into the kitchen. Maggie turns around and says, hello.
Did it scare him a little bit?
Yeah. I don't know whether it scared him or not, but he was quite impressed with the bird.
You had mentioned transit coming by. Was that a common occurrence with the train?
Not very, no. No.
Do you ever remember seeing them in town or...
Yes. When we lived on Adams Avenue there, they had some way that they marked a house that would give a handout to them.
Oh.
And there was, I don't know how they did it, but the bums all knew. And when they recognized this mark, they go to this house for a handout. And I remember that.
Remember what the feeling was for people like that passing through?
Most people at that time helped. They weren't, there was no antagonistic atmosphere to them. They were, that was hard times. And,
why do you suppose they traveled through most of the time? What was their purpose?
Finding a job.
Now, as you grew up, were you involved in any activities at school?
High school.
In high school, you
were? Yeah, I was in the band.
Now, high school, you went back into town?
Yes.
To LeGrand High School? LeGrand
High School.
Okay.
I was in the band all those years. I took part in other activities. I never could play sports because I was too small, but I remember band because we got a lot of nice trips out of band. At that time, the band director was Andy Loney. He was an excellent instructor. And we would go to Portland for band concerts and contests, and we did real well in the state contests.
Did you listen to the radio much, other forms of music?
I remember Mom, when she was channeling eggs, we'd listen to Amos and Andy. I don't remember too many of other programs, but I do remember Amos and Andy. It was one of the better programs on the radio at that time.
Do you recall the station you were listening to?
No, I don't.
Was there only one at that time?
I don't remember.
Okay. And what did you do after you finished school?
Well, I went to Eastern Oregon. After high school, you mean? I went to Eastern Oregon for 3 years. And
what did you study there?
Just general math, physics, and other required courses.
And tell me more about your days in college here.
Days in college was we had our activities in college was occasional dances.
Were those held on campus?
Yes, in the ballroom. And the main building. There was one building at that time, and that's where the Ackerman offices are now.
Ackerman or Inlow? Where Inlow is now.
There was one building
okay.
at that time, and that was the main building on the face of the hill.
Okay. So there was a ballroom in there?
Yes. There was a ballroom, there was facilities there. The teachers were, with one or two exceptions, were excellent. I had a number of courses on math and physics and chemistry from Ralph Badgley, who was a wonderful person. I went after of course, we had football and basketball. I played in the band in college. Went up there 3 years. I went to third year because I didn't have enough money to go down to Corvallis. I worked my...
Did you notice any sort of separation between students on campus and the community at large in the band?
No, no separation of the people in the Grand River.
We're talking about your college days, and you were telling me off tape how you financed that. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, my financing of the college was done mostly by helping Dad here on the farm in the mornings, and he and I would go up in the afternoon, and we had a little piece of timber up on top of Fox Hill, and we would cut wood and haul it down. And then in the fall, I would deliver it after in Christmas and Thanksgiving in those times. Getting in the wood down from the hill was a problem. And when I started, I went to the senior, M.J. Goss, and told him what I was trying to do, and told him I needed something to haul the wood down off the hill on. He says, well, I got a truck out here. I'll sell it to you for $25. I said, I only got $12. He said, take it. So that started my wood cutting career all through the college days. And when I come back from Corvallis on Thanksgiving and Christmas, I would deliver the wood with that old truck.
What did you do with your college degree?
What?
What did you do with your college degree?
Oh,
I went on to Corvallis and finished and became...
Agriculture engineering. I went to work for the Salk Conservation for 10 years after I got back after the war. While at Corvallis in my senior year, the Air Force Cadet Board come through Corvallis looking for cadets. And I had draft number 96, and I said, I don't want to be a draft, so I went to the fellows that come through on the cadet board, and I was accepted. I went to Oxnard, California in June of 1941. I left directly from Corvallis. Dad and Mom going down to Corvallis and see me off on the train. And I went to Oxnard, California. And that was primary. Then I went to Bakersfield for basic. And I finished up at Phoenix, Arizona at Luke Field. That's where I got my wings. my experience and after I got my wings is I was an instructor for gunnery. I was sent, I went to Las Vegas, Nevada. From there I went to Kingman, Arizona. And I started out as a gunnery instructor there when the field opened. I became assistant base operations officer. And I did test work on the planes. I flew the test hops and everything that come out of the maintenance shop before it went on the line. And my job was testing the planes before they went on the general line. And we had B-26s, B-17s, B-25s, AT-18s, AT-6s, AT-11s, and some others. And it was a fun job. You were kind of your own boss. You'd go out and there was something you didn't like about the plane, you didn't think it was working right, you put a red line on and told them to check it or be sure before it was all right. The only thing that ever happened to me was that I was checking out a B-26 one day and they managed to hook the trim tabs up backwards and it wakes you up for a minute. Had quite a bit of time in 17s. Finally went to B-29s. I remained in reserve and retired. I retired as a lieutenant colonel.
And when did you come back to
LeGrand? I was in 45.
So when you came back from your time in the service, is that when you worked for
the Soil Conservation Service?
Soil Conservation.
Yes.
Okay. What did that job entail?
It was land leveling, small concrete structures. We built one dam, which is now on Shaw's Place in North Powder. Drainage work. That was about all of it.
Is the equipment that would be used now for such a project, is it quite a bit different than it was then?
Oh yes, they got better equipment. Not a lot of difference. One of my side lights when I was working with the SCS, I run snow survey for Eastern Oregon in the first of every month you run your stations. We went as far as Seneca, Baker.
And you were just checking the snow level?
Yes. You measured it for water content.
What did you do with that information then? Would that help you to determine what was needed in your own?
That information was sent to Jack Frost, was the guy's name in Portland, and he put out the forecast for the water for the following year.
Were there any other real memorable projects, any buildings that you worked on that really stick out in your mind?
No. No, there's nothing. It was all minor.
Were you involved in the freeway coming through?
No, nothing like that. Okay. It was all agricultural work.
So you worked a lot for the local farmers?
Yes, all for the local farmers, yes. Okay.
And then you remained on the farm all of those years?
Yes.
You had come back and lived in the family farm that you had grew up on?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was that like, to come back and to be in the same spot?
It was very relieving.
Relieving?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, I traveled. There was only two or three states in the Union and I wasn't in. And I was ready to come home. I didn't find any place that I liked better. I did enjoy the desert. There's a lot to do in the desert. People don't think so, but there's a lot to do in the desert. I enjoyed hunting gold, mining claims, and things like that. It was a lot of fun.
Did you build your own home on this property, or did you live in the old farm house?
I built this house. Bernie and I built this house.
Okay. And the other one remains?
Yeah.
That you grew up in?
Mm-hmm.
So you came back, and you returned to farm work? At the same time?
Well, no. After 10 years, I went into petroleum. I was a jobber for Bulls Oil Company. I bought out one of the oil companies here in town. And Bernie and I run that for 39 years.
And Bernie was your wife?
Yes.
Okay. Did you meet her here in town?
No, she's from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. So you had met there?
Yes, I met her when I was...
Her to your home,
yes, that's right.
Okay. Did you have any children?
I have one boy. He's now a deputy sheriff here in town.
And he, I understand, also lives on the family.
Yes, he lives in the regional house.
So then what did you do after the petroleum business? Or actually, tell me a little bit more about the petroleum business.
Well, the petroleum business was, we took over the weakest distributor in LeGrand at the time. And it was a task. My wife ran the office and the help in the office. She paid all the bills. She did all the bookwork. She sent out all the billing, did all the handling of the money. I did the outside work. I delivered. And then later on, I was able to get into motor oils. And I started out, Pennzoil did not have any outlet here for Pennzoil. And I started selling Pennzoil. And then a fellow from Nampa, Idaho, came in one day, and he wanted to buy carload lots of Pennzoil. So that started the real oil business. I was very fortunate. I started selling motor oils in quantity. I had accounts from Grandview, Washington, to El Segundo, California. It turned out to be real nice to us. Mm-hmm. Keep playing with that again. Oh, thank you.
So that was a very satisfying job for you then. Did that require that you travel very much?
No.
No. You had other people to drive and to ship out your product?
Yes, yeah. And it was... It was a tough go for a while, but it turned out to our advantage, very much so.
Did you ever return farming?
Oh yes, I still do. I still run the acreage that we have here. I was very interested in specialty products. I started out raising onion seed. And had contracts for the onion seed. And I had that for two or three years, and I had to stop because of disease that got in the ground for onions. And then I went in, I tried flowers. I raised bok choy.
What is that?
That is a green that's used a lot in Japan and so forth. Lettuce type thing. I raised lettuce seed.
The seeds would then be harvested and sent out of the area?
They were all under contract, yes. I had different contracts.
And you didn't go back to the team, I'm assuming, to do the farming?
No. We had our first tractor for Dad. I bought in Renton, Washington, as a surplus, as a veteran, you could buy products, and I went up and bought a tractor for Dad, and I also bought a pickup, and that was our first mechanicals for the farm. Dad worked on the railroad during the war. He was a pipe fitter, and they called him back, and he worked on the railroad until after the war, until he retired.
Did you ever miss those days of working with the team?
No.
How much work?
It's awful hard work. I mean, you have to take care of them in the morning, and take care of them at noon, and take care of them at night.
Yeah. Then don't you have to mechanic on the tractor?
Well, when you get done at night, you turn the key off and go eat.
But with the team, you had to go take care of their needs first.
Yeah, and water and feed and take the harness off, take care of them.
What is your crop consist of now?
I raised alfalfa hay for a number of years. And the hay run out. I've got wheat in this year. I don't know where I'm going from here.
And do you sell the wheat locally?
Yes.
And how do you determine what you're going to try? Sounds like you've tried a lot of different things.
Well, you kind of got to guess the market. And you hope you guess right.
Yes, but do you use any sort of information to help?
Well, right now, for instance, hay. When I was in hay, there wasn't a lot of hay being grown. The price was good. The price was so good that a number of farmers went into the hay market and the bottom fell out of it. Well, it goes in cycles. People get out of hay, and then it'll be good priced again. It's just like cattle and anything else. It works in cycles.
You've told me your date of birth, so I'm assuming I can ask you how old you are.
I'm 86.
Okay. And still active on the farm itself?
Yes.
So you're still doing that work yourself?
Yes.
Or do you hire that out?
No, I do it myself.
What does that require?
Well, everything's mechanical now. We have the irrigation system is pushing a button, and it's a wheel line, so it doesn't take long to set it. And weed control is all done by spray, so that's not handwork. And
Things like the old Farmer's Almanac that
no.
you talk about?
No.
No? So do you think that was mostly a myth?
I think it is, yes.
Okay.
Some people swear by it.
Mm-hmm. But you never relied on it?
I never relied on it, no.
How much of your interest in farming has come from growing up that way, or information that came from your father or your grandfather?
Well, I'd say my interest has always been in farming. I have always enjoyed it. That's one of the things that I always wanted to do. I told my wife not too long ago, I need three lives. After the war, I was invited to come to TWA for a interview for pilot. And as much as I had B-29 time, they were interested. And I wanted a career at farming. And I wanted a career in business. You can't do all three.
Are you happy with the decision that you made to choose?
Yes, yes. My decision to do what I did was excellent.
What about your decision to do that here in Union County?
That's where I wanted to live.
Did you ever consider that there would be another place?
Yes. My second home is Las Vegas. That was my wife's home. It was our second home beginning in 1942. We maintained it until last year. And it would be real easy for me to live there. But I never will. I made my home here now, so this is it. But
as you have reflected back on your time in Union County, is there anything else that really stands out that you really want to talk about?
Well, my experience here has been complete. I've never wished to live anyplace else. There are times that there's things that happened here that are, when I was a kid, that shouldn't have happened, but they've pretty well ironed things out now. The town has changed from the standpoint of buildings. People, I used to know nearly everybody that walked down the street, and today I know very few because I'm not in business, not in contact anymore. It changes rapidly. Some of the old churches are still as they were. The college has been a tremendous increase in personnel and buildings and subjects. The railroad has changed a lot. This used to be a big terminal for railroad, and it still is a crew point, but it doesn't have that. There used to be a big railroad shop here for steam, a big roundhouse and everything here. That part is all gone. There used to be 10 to 12 different lumber mills in town, and today the small ones are all gone. They used to be a mill at Perry, and they floated the logs down from up the Starkey on the river at one time. So I would say that the Grand would be nice if you could take it back as it was 30 years ago. And I get perturbed when people are in my old fishing hole.
I don't blame you there. Do you think there are more people here now?
Yes, there was about 8,000 here when I was a kid. And what is it, 10 now?
I think 12.
12.
So in your opinion then, Change is good or change is bad?
It depends on how you look at it. There's people that of course, want more business, are prone to look only at the business aspect of it. And some of us at our age look at the quiet place to live and are not interested in installing big new businesses. So it depends on where you are in life. When I was earlier life, when I was in business, of course, we looked for more business. Mm-hmm. And now I look for doing the things I want to do without harassment from DEQ and all the rest of it.
So you've definitely noticed then kind of an ebb and flow depending on where you are in your life stage.
That's right. Yeah.
Are there any other things about Union County that you'd like to tell me today?
Well, I think fishing is one of the things that has changed. When I was a kid, you could go over to Wallow and catch 30 fish, your limit was 30 fish. Mm-hmm. And we used to go into Big Sheep when I was a kid and then take cream cans, 5 gallon cream cans, and salt them down right there. And today you're allowed 5 fish. It had been brought about for an influx of people fishing, mm-hmm. and influx has caused other problems, except overfishing. Mm-hmm. So here again, it's increase of population decreases your livability in later life. Mm-hmm.